which starts now.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Hello, 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 up and down the Cusco. I'm also shouting out to the Yukon and the coast. Grady Deaton here. As usual, I have energy, and I'm sharing that energy with you. As usual, I'm starting my day off heart healthy with my oatmeal on my sideboard. I hope everyone's starting their day with an anchor, a good breakfast to start the day out right. And as is usual during this time of concern, our own KYUK news team has arranged an excellent show for Coffee at KYUK this morning. Consequently, I have on the phone Christy Schallenberger, and joining her is Nat Hertz. Good morning to each of you.
Good morning, Grady.
Good morning.
So,
Go ahead.
The perils of working on a phone, through phones. You can't see who's going to talk first.
Take it away.
Okay. I'm going to claim first. So today we are again talking about Raven Air's decision to suspend all operations and the impact it has on rural communities. In court documents, the company says it may shut down for good if the government or new investors don't intervene. And so today with us is Nat Hirsch from Alaska's Energy Desk, one of my colleagues, who found the court documents that lay out Raven's financial woes. Welcome, Nat. Thanks for coming in on your day off.
Yeah, good morning. I'm excited to be eating my oatmeal, too, for what it's worth.
So, Nat, can you tell us why Raven Air's bankruptcy is such a big deal for Alaska and especially rural Alaskans?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that your listeners probably more than most like appreciate that already. But to sort of just go through it a little bit, I mean, Raven served 115 different communities in Alaska, and just, you know, it pretty much reached every part of the state except for Southeast Alaska. So, you know, they were the only passenger air service to a bunch of communities on the North Slope. They flew to Northwest Alaska and in the YK and in the interior. And in at least 20 different villages, mostly in the YK, also on the North Slope, they were the only scheduled passenger service. And so, you know, I had been for the story that I did last week, I was talking to folks at Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation. I was talking to folks on the North Slope. I was talking to folks in the Pribilof Islands in the Bering Sea. That was sort of where the issue really kind of hit home, where, you know, I was talking to the president of St. Paul's tribal government in the Pribilofs, and they were saying, you know, right now the only way off the island is a charter, which costs at minimum $9,000. And they had, you know, a pregnant woman who was pregnant with twins who needed to get into Anchorage, and they had to charter a plane for her and another ambulatory patient. So, and then, you know, yeah, so definitely it just seems like it's creating, it's not sort of immediate life or death situation, but adding a layer of stress and cost during an already pretty difficult time.
Yeah, and what exactly is the financial situation facing Raven? What do the court documents tell us?
Well, it's not good. I think, you know, and I think it's important to start out. I mean, it was interesting. I talked to a lot of people who didn't want to be quoted, but a lot of people with sort of a fair amount of expertise in the aviation industry, and you got very different opinions from them about sort of are Raven's problems, were they caused by solely by the coronavirus pandemic and the fact that their passenger service completely fell off the map, or, you know, was this a problem that had been kind of developing for months and months? You know, Raven had a big serious plane crash in Unalaska in October where a person was killed. They also had a cyber attack where basically they'd been, blocked out of some of their computer systems. It was sort of a ransomware attack that may have cost them as much as like $1 million in December. that didn't help. So, you know, certainly things had not been going really smoothly for Raven in the months leading up to the pandemic. But then, you know, the entire aviation industry has been kind of devastated by nobody getting on planes. And so Raven, they were, we don't know exactly sort of for how long and how big the debt was before the pandemic, but basically when they filed for bankruptcy, Raven is owned by a couple of, majority owned by a couple of private equity kind of finance firms on the East Coast, and they had borrowed $90 million from, they haven't actually said the number of lenders, but it sounds like it's a number of banks, and basically Raven was losing money and continued to make cuts to its workforce and its schedule, and at a certain point, they had no cash left and no one wanted to invest in them because there was no indication of like when, you know, the company would ever be able to start making money again, if at all.
And that sounds pretty dire. And there has been political fallout too, I think specifically from our Senator Dan Sullivan. Can you talk about that? And what has been the fallout from the state leaders and congressional delegates?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, I think there were basically two avenues that the company went down, which was, and this is sort of laid out in the bankruptcy documents, which are filed in Delaware bankruptcy court. You know, first, I think what they were looking for was just to find some kind of business investor to loan them some more cash to continue operating. But, you know, again, who wants to, you know, do you want to invest in an airline right now? I don't want to invest in an airline right now. So that did not seem yeah. realistic for them. And so, you know, then they started asking the government, the state and federal government, you know, is there some relief that we can get here? At the state level, it sounds like they talked to the governor's office, but the governor's office was basically like, you know, we don't have any money for a bailout. You can go talk to the state's economic development agency, which is called the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, but they apparently never made a proposal to that agency, according to the spokesman that I talked to. So then at the federal government level, it sounds like Raven was working pretty closely with the congressional delegation, particularly Senator Sullivan's office, and basically they ran into this issue where it sounds like, and this is sort of from talking to people kind of close to the situation and also from reading some coverage in other outlets and talking directly with Senator Sullivan's office, but Senator Sullivan, in the big federal relief package, the $2 trillion federal relief package that passed a few weeks ago, there was money for the aviation industry and the delegation was working with Raven and the Department of the Treasury to try to figure out, okay, what's going to be available here? Can we help with some relief money to Raven? And at least early on, Raven had expressed that it was not interested in getting any of the money from the bailout because the money from the bailout could only go toward its employees and towards payroll and not to pay down the company's debt, which was sort of its major problem. And so, and it sounds like this was really being dictated by the banks that had lent all this money to Raven. And the banks were saying, yeah, you know, if you can't get any money to pay us back, we don't care how much you can pay your employees. And, you know, you're going to have to file for bankruptcy or sell off your assets to pay us back. So Dan Sullivan, who'd been working really hard, I think, to deliver some money to Raven to keep them operating, you know, was hearing this message and there was a Chamber of Commerce like web presentation that he was giving a week and a half ago, where he really blasted Raven as you know, he basically called them a bunch of like Wall Street guys that didn't care about Alaska. And you know, Dan Sullivan is not a guy that's not a friend of business. Like, he is a pro-business Republican. So to see him sort of express that level of frustration at a, you know, big Alaska company was really kind of astonishing. And I think, to be fair, Raven has since applied for relief from the federal legislation. But it's, as of now, it's totally unclear when or if that money will come through or how much it will be.
And what has been the state response to all of this? Like, when it was announced, there was no warning. People were scrambling. YKHC was scrambling. Villages were scrambling. They didn't know if they got their mail. From the state level, what has been that response, and has there been plans to help especially hospitals find other avenues for medical transport?
That's a good question. It's definitely, that was a question that I was sort of asking, did not get a whole lot of detail on. I mean, I think, when Raven filed for bankruptcy, there was a statement from the governor's office that basically said, we're sorry to hear this, and we're going to work on it and work with other industry stakeholders to make sure that service continues. It sounds like the governor's office has a, an aviation advisory board, and that was sort of the area that that was sort of the group that I think was sort of tasked at looking at this. We tried to get some information from the Department of Transportation and the governor's office, and no one really had anything specific as far as what the state government was doing or had done in particular. I mean, I think in fairness, they're dealing with this huge health crisis, and not to at all to diminish the fact that, the Raven's bankruptcy is causing major problems for some communities. I think it's just the state government has very limited bandwidth at the moment, and it doesn't seem like this is something where they are, developing their own plan, at least sort of at a high level from the governor's office to deal with this. It really seems like they're looking to the private sector to fill in the gaps here. I do think it is also fair to say, it's this sort of weird situation where you have a sort of essential service, almost sort of like infrastructure that is needed to connect villages back to healthcare and to the road system, but ultimately, Raven was a private company, and they were sort of a for-profit company. And so it's sort of, it's not like the state is set up or the federal government is set up to just go in there and fix the problem itself with its own airline. It really has to look to the private sector to kind of start filling in those gaps. And I think maybe the question is, what can they do to incentivize that?
And kind of following up on that, Great Aviation and Ryanair are two regional airlines that serve YK Delta, and they have stepped up with mail delivery and I believe some passenger service. Here, I'm curious, is that happening in other parts of the state, and is this enough?
The honest answer to that question is I don't know, because I think, it's too many communities where Raven was serving for me to be able to really offer kind of a full characterization. I mean, I think on the one hand, it's quite clear to say, if you live on St. Paul Island in the middle of the Bering Sea, it's probably not enough right now because, you're having to charter planes. I mean, and you like, just to give that as an example, Raven had an essential air service, federal contract, to provide direct flights to St. Paul from Anchorage, and that was the only direct way to get to Anchorage from St. Paul. You could also get on a Grant flight from St. Paul to Unalaska and then get on a Raven flight from Unalaska to Anchorage, and the Grant flight from St. Paul is still flying to Unalaska, but then you get to Unalaska and there's no Raven flight to Anchorage, so, that's the end of the line. So, I think And from talking to the president of St. Paul's tribal government, I think it's something they're really worried about. They're asking the question of, who is going to replace Raven. I don't think anyone has really sort of immediately stepped in. And I think, it was really not, I think you need one of Raven's sizes of planes. This is a little bit speculation, but I think, St. Paul, it's pretty far from Anchorage, and to take a direct flight, I don't think you could do that over water too in, a smaller plane. You would need one of Raven's Dash 8s. So I think, they were basically, you know, I called and I was like, what do you guys know about this? And they were sort of like, well, we know that we have a problem, but we really don't know what the solution is going to be. And right now they have so many other things they're dealing with that it's not like, you know, they have a bunch of time that they can dedicate to, you know, arranging a new airline to come into their community. And I would imagine that, you know, I think communities on the North Slope are dealing with the same thing. I think communities in the YK are dealing with the same thing. And it's just, you know, I think it's going to take some time for folks to figure out what their options are. And definitely one other thing that I did hear was that in some of the communities where Grant or Ute or other airlines have been able to step in, that's also created some issues for the villages that those companies were already serving, where, you know, if they have to move a plane to a Raven community, then that potentially creates a hole in a community that they were already serving. So it's definitely, you know, we know that Raven's planes are all sitting on, like, in a hangar or on the tarmac in Palmer, which is their base. So those planes aren't being used right now. So it's definitely, I think it's definitely created some chaos and some anxiety. And I think we'll have to wait to kind of see what the full fallout of that is.
Well, and we have time for one last question. So it's the obvious one. What's next for Raven? Can they come back from this?
Yeah, well, I think that, I mean, that is the obvious one. And again, there is not an answer to that in a really clear way. I think we have sort of a array of options where, you know, I think at one end of the spectrum, you know, they could basically just not get any government money, not get anyone who wants to invest in them, and the banks force Raven to sell off their assets to other companies, and Raven just, you know, basically gets liquidated and disappears. At the other end of the spectrum, maybe there's some, you know, there was some discussion of, can they find a wealthy investor in Alaska who would, you know, have a long-term view and help tide them along, or maybe a native corporation, maybe they find someone to invest and kind of keep them existing, even if not operating at a big level through the pandemic until they get out the other end. But I think, you know, definitely there's probably going to have to be some restructuring in the Raven that you look at. The Raven that you see at the end of the pandemic is probably going to look pretty different from the Raven that exists today and existed 2 months ago.
All right. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much, Nat, for coming in and laying that analysis out. That was Nat Hirsch from Alaska's Energy Desk talking about Raven Air's decision to suspend all operations and declare bankruptcy and the impact that it's having across the state. I'm Christy Schallenberger, a reporter for KYUK. Thanks for joining us this morning. Back to you, Grady.
Thanks, Christy, and have a good day. And I'm Grady Deaton, and this is Coffee at KYUK, your source for community and connection in the mornings each weekday. We have different guests, sometimes light and sometimes serious. Coffee KYUK is where the community connects. If you'd like to suggest a guest or indeed be a guest yourself when things settle down, don't hesitate to reach out to us here. You can email me at coffee@kyuk.org. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. Stay tuned today to KYUK. Of course, we have Yuktun Talk Show coming up at 10, and it's Monday, so get into Monday mode, folks. We got to still keep the economy going, even though some of us can't be working right now. Those of us who are working from home, keep those task lists, you know, on point. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it. The last thing I want to tell you, indeed, keep your distance. Keep your contact with people via the digital mechanisms that you have at your disposal. And don't forget to be awesome to each other. Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta.
Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYK is where our community connects.
If you'd like to suggest a guest or arrange to be on with us yourself, contact us at coffee@kyuk.org or call 543-3131 today.